The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Legal Show here on WWDB Talk 860. We're sponsored by BridgeMed Legal. Of course, my co-host, Larry Schreiber. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. We'd be able to do a lot better if the birds would have won.
I know. And believe me, we were just talking about this. Our guest, of course... on the program, no stranger to the program, Mark Schmidt, partner Schmidt, Karafidis and Rassius. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing about the same as Larry right now, and we should welcome all the listeners who have turned off sports radio talk to listen to this because you just can't take it anymore.
Well, we have another guest on the program, Quincy Booth, who's calling from California. Hey, Quincy, how are you, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Quincy.
Quince, if you would, tell our listeners about your firm.
Yeah. So, by the way, thanks for having me again, Joe. It's good to be back. You have a great show, and I'm always happy to join you guys. I have a personal injury firm. It's called the Booth Firm. So my name's Quincy Booth. It's pretty easy. And I practice a variety of personal injury matters, representing people that get hurt in a variety of ways. I am calling from California, but I'm a Philadelphia born and bred guy, and I share the same sentiment with Mark, you, yourself, and Larry about yesterday, but we'll be okay.
Well, it's interesting.
I'm wearing a green suit.
Oh, you are? Say that again?
I'm wearing a green suit today to, you know, in memoration of in memory of our birds. But,
well, first of all, boy, the first question I was going to ask, and if you would, Mark, introduce your son real quick, because the conversation we just had in Quincy, about the birds and the situation, and we're not going to put you on the spot. Don't worry about it. But if you would, Mark, introduce.
Nick Schmidt is an assistant legal assistant, paralegal, and does everything at the firm Schmidt, Karafidis, and Rassius.
And Nick, last time we had you on the program, we talked about having you sing the national anthem. We'd appreciate it if you would right now. Hold on, I'm waiting. Time is a wasting here.
Tick, 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 tick.
Great to have you on the program, Nick, in the studio. I do want to start off with a little birds talk. I know you didn't catch the whole game, Mark, but, your son, by the way, was elaborating perfectly on a lot of the things, that happened. But one of the things that was very concerning, Larry, Larry, by the way, you got to come down and meet Larry Schreiber, of BridgeMed Legal, our co-host on a program when you're in town, Quincy, because Larry hosts one of the biggest tailgates down at the ballpark every Sunday during the home games. And my biggest concern, and Nick was just saying this, is the pocket awareness. Okay, Jason, Hurts is he's not showing the same awareness that he did a couple years ago. I mean, when he was, in that year, it's not the same, man. I mean, he's holding on to the ball. Tom Brady was kind of saying it. He just doesn't seem to be the same guy. Quincy, any thoughts on that?
I was just about to say, I think we've all known based on what happened last year that when he's forced to the left, he doesn't do well, and he's pressured. He doesn't do as well in the pocket, but I think we all kind of hoped that it was a concentrated issue to just that, but it seems a little bigger than that, which is giving me cause for concern.
No question. Larry?
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. My biggest issue is that he continues to break a clean pocket and he rolls right, and it seems like he does that out of fear, and he doesn't trust his offensive line. Now, I mean, truth be told, the last two games, he has reason not to trust his offensive line as much, even though they did really well in New Orleans. But at the end of the day, he needs – I think he should be under center more. I think the play-action pass would be a lot more viable, and I think you now have a battering ram that can run like the wind. So I don't know how you don't give him the ball 20, 25 times.
No question. Now, his all-pro right tackle was out, and so that might have hurt, but – even with all that, and Nick, you want to just comment on that, because you hit it right on the nose when when we were talking about it, he just doesn't, you know, he just doesn't seem to be comfortable anymore. And he's holding on to the ball like there's no tomorrow. And we talked about pocket awareness. It just wasn't there.
You know, we said at the start of the show, the listeners are definitely stressed out and tired of hearing it. But it has to be said. I completely agree. And it reminds me of Carson Wentz. It really does. I worry that it's the kind of same situation where, you know.
It is weird. I mean,
it's very, very peculiar. It really is.
From a selfish perspective, that lack of awareness is going to get him injured. And I have represented an Eagles player in the past who got injured on the field, so I'm happy if he needs to give me a call. Jalen, it's 610-892-9300 if somebody catches you that you didn't see coming from your blind side.
No, that's a good point. And it is a work comp case. We hope that doesn't happen. But it is weird. It's like it's almost like he's getting the yips, kind of like Carson. I wonder, at this, Larry, you are like the ultimate Philly fan, but I mean, and we are brutal, but at the same time, you know, we turn it around in a heartbeat, okay, just in a heartbeat. And, you know, like if – I wonder if it's not just Jalen Hurts and Carson. Is it the pressure that the city puts on, you know, some of the athletes that – you know, I mean, look, this guy played for Alabama and Oklahoma. He's no joke.
Yeah, I personally think that that he has regressed. I don't think he takes a look at his second and third reads. So I think what he does is he tucks the ball away when the first read doesn't come open. And that's the biggest concern because you don't let plays develop and you have a lot of talent, a lot of speed on your outside. So you kind of need it to develop a little
bit. Well, I also think, though, we need to be throwing underneath passes. Like, in other words, we need to throw some no-brainer, you know, like across the – we didn't have it last year, and we're throwing these sideline passes and down the field a lot. And I think that, you know, like, you know, we need to throw, you know, some high percentage 100%. Passes to get them off the hook a little.
You need some hot routes. So when he sees the blitz come, he knows he has somebody in the flat just waiting for
100%.
Him. 100%. And they're not doing that, which is concerning.
Well, no question. But, you know, to make up for his issues, the defense was, you know, 10 times worse in the beginning of the game. I mean, it was, you know, any thoughts on that, Quincy?
You know, I look, my basic thought about the Eagles right now is just that we really lack a sense of urgency. And I see it predominantly with Jalen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about the coach because, you know, I'm speaking in a public forum, and I don't know if I can contain my thoughts about the coach. but Jalen really, he believes in himself. I know that. And I think he really believes that at any point in the game, things can turn around. But that's not how you play this game. You start out with a head full of steam, and you keep your foot on the gas the entire game.
We
just don't do that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We just don't do that. In general, with respect to the season and the outlook, I think that, you know, as long as we can beat the guys in our division, I think that it'll give us the confidence to go out and, you know, win some of these games against these AFC teams and maybe even, you know, your Seahawks or even though they took a loss last night, your Seahawks, your other like kind of surprisingly good NFC teams, the Vikings. I think we can hold our head high against those teams if we just get some confidence in our own division.
Well, no question.
Which isn't a walk in the park right now.
And Joe, you hit the nail on the head about the passion of Philly fans. If they come out of the bye and then they beat Cleveland, we're unstoppable. We're going to win the rest of the season outright, and we're going to the Super Bowl. And then when they lose the next game, fire the coach, get rid of the quarterback, start from scratch. But the one bright side that we do have, it's October 1st. Red October.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
True that.
But go fighting.
That's right.
By the way, I just, before we go in that direction, Mark, and I know, by the way, yeah, there's, you know, I do want to say, you know, Quincy brought up something, and you can't, you know, if Sirianni passes on another field goal, gimme at the beginning, even Jimmy Johnson at halftime was sitting there saying, you know, listen, he was sitting there going, what is going on? I mean, there is, and at the end of every game, we're now sweating because it's a 2-point, it's a 1-point, it's right. Within one, two, or 3 points, and we didn't kick the field goal. And so he's kicking, he's punting, or he's kicking, He's not kicking when he should be, and he's kicking when he should be punting. And so there's a lot there. This is not a sports show, but we could go on. Let's touch on Red October just for a second. Mark, if you would, baseball fan?
Big baseball fan. I mean, even bigger right now since you have to kind of temper your passions with regard to football. So let's go Phils.
Well, it's interesting because I said something on Facebook, just 2 days ago, and I'm not a big Facebook guy or anything like that, like Larry is. Larry's on there 24/7, doesn't he? I'm just kidding, he's not. But are you a baseball guy, Quincy?
I am. Love the Phils. It's not the sport I played growing up, but, diehard Phils guy.
And Nick, you into baseball at all?
I love baseball.
Okay. So here's what I said the other day. Okay, I mean, remember when Hoskins hit the home run and threw the bat? While I was at that game, and you can see us on the video because, we got great tickets for that game. It was an incredible moment. Momentum that time, it was 17 straight games. It was amazing. But this time, okay, and it's a long season, man, and it's just nuts. But I said this week, I said, look, the Phils don't have to worry about losing momentum when it comes to the bye week. Because we didn't have any. Like, in other words, we let Washington smoke us, and don't get me wrong, I'm wondering what the heck's going on with what our number, our supposed, Ranger number, our number three. And maybe everything will be cool starting, because a lot of teams, pundits are picking us. But we had no momentum going into the break. We needed this damn break to get us back in.
Look at the last couple of years, and the break killed the Braves, which is why we were able to take them out because they had the momentum. When you're not doing anything positive, maybe a break can give you a chance to spin it around.
How about the last game? We're rolling, and somehow, okay, 6-3, two outs, bases loaded, and he hits a bomb to the wall.
Cody.
And Cody Clemens catches the ball. So, we love the baseball and the Phils, and it's no more exciting place.
I got to tell you, though, we have a real issue with Ranger. If people think that he is going to snap his fingers at the beginning of the playoffs, I think that he played towards the end to try to work out whatever bugs he was dealing with. I think we have solid three starters. Right now, our fourth starter is a question mark.
Yeah.
Joe, the last time I was here with you, we were talking about my own back injury, which actually is a case before the Supreme Court right now. So when I hear the media talking about Ranger trying to work out of a back injury, I can sympathize with what he's going through. It's not that easy. It doesn't just go away. And for a pitcher who has the torque and the twisting of the body, putting a lot of pressure there to try to hit the right spot with every pitch, he just leaves something hanging out there because of a back spasm and scores 3-0 away.
Yeah, 100%. And so so obviously we're excited but cautiously optimistic there. We do have the worst playoff, the worst record of all the teams in the playoffs from the second half on. Okay, after the All-Star break, so we got and we had an incredible first step. It is odd. Yesterday, I don't know if anybody watched any of the games yesterday with the Braves and the Mets, but they split. And when they split, they both made it to the playoffs. Arizona got knocked out. I was happy about that. But I've never seen two teams on the field celebrating. Like, in other words, it was two clubhouses going nuts, man.
They both made it in at last minute, so they needed that. Whatever caused the cancellation to have that doubleheader, who knows what the difference would have been if they played it out in the regular season.
You know what, Mark? I was hoping the game went 36 innings, man. Let them both get in. But anyway, let's do this. Mark, if you would remind our listeners about yourself and the firm.
Sure. The firm is Schmidt, Kirafetis, and Racius. We are primarily a workers' compensation firm, but George Rassi is our personal injury savant. He handles car accidents, slip and falls, medical malpractice, and we're located in Media, Pennsylvania. But the way the court system has been since COVID, most hearings are virtual, depositions are by telephone. So we're representing clients across the entire Commonwealth, Pittsburgh, Erie, Harrisburg, everywhere. You name it, we can represent anybody anywhere in Pennsylvania now.
So having said that, Quincy, do you practice in Philly and in California?
Absolutely. Just to piggyback on what Mark said, because of the advent of technology, especially post-COVID, I mean, I use technology, you know, beyond just Zooms and phone calls for court appearances. I'm able to represent people not only throughout the Commonwealth, and I went to law school in Pittsburgh, Mark, so I too kind of, you know, represent injured people across the state of Pennsylvania, but I also maintain a multi-jurisdictional practice. I'm licensed in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California, and recently got admitted to the New Mexico bar. I've got some ties in New Mexico. So I, you know, I'm on an airplane quite a bit. I'm traveling back and forth. My practice in Pennsylvania is located in the Winfield area, which is right by St. Joe's University, where I grew up. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to connect to people and help people. No matter where you are, a lot of times new clients of mine want to meet virtually. So it really helps, you know, me kind of cast a wide net when it comes to my representation.
Let me bring Larry Schreiber in real quick. Larry, if you would tell our listeners a little bit about what BridgeMed Legal does.
Thanks, Joe. I've been in the medical legal space for 30 years at this point. Well, I'm dating myself.
For a 27-year-old guy.
Yeah. So I have been in the space for a long time, and I've built up relationships with both attorneys as well as physicians. We represent over 340 doctor's offices in 7 states, California and New Mexico not being one of them, but I'll work on it for you. So we...
Give me a call, Larry. We can help.
My man. So basically, we help attorneys find medical coverage for their clients in areas that they are not well represented. They don't have relationships.
And when you say areas, you're talking about regions?
Completely regions. I have a lot of Philadelphia attorneys that call me and say, hey, listen, I need somebody in Reading, Allentown, you know, Harrisburg, you know, a lot of the counties. Because a lot of the attorneys, they have a lot of clients that might be specialized in the Philadelphia region itself, but, you know, in surrounding areas. But when you go outside their scope, they don't know who to speak to. And the most important thing with medical coverage is medical treatment is having the physician and the staff understand the workman's comp space and or the personal injury space, because it's very intricate with different laws and regulations and insurance coverage.
What about specialists? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Quincy.
No, you're, that was a good follow-up question. But what Larry said is very important. And to add on to it, it's not just about the doctors and the specialists understanding the landscape that we're in, whether it be personal injury or workers' compensation. But it's about access to them, right? So imagine, you know, going to, you know, Blue Cross or United and saying, I need such and such work done. I need to see somebody. The red tape, the bureaucracy that you've got to go through sometimes prevents the timely treatment that you need, right, 100%. Following an incident. And so what Larry's providing is really essential to what I do and to what Mark does, because our clients need treatment immediately, not just like objectively for their own sake, right, to get better as quickly as possible, but also because in our industry, you know, the people who we are diametrically opposed to are insurance companies and obviously defense attorneys, but insurance companies write the checks. And they're in the business of trying to avoid writing those checks. So what they do is they pick cases apart primarily because of gaps in treatment. And a lot of times you see gaps in treatment, meaning that an incident happens on October 1st and you don't go and see a doctor until November 1st. Well, what happened? You must not be injured that badly, right? Well, no, that's not the case. They didn't have access to the right doctors or to the most knowledgeable doctors. So thank you, Larry, for providing that service for us.
And it's even more important in the workers' compensation system, because they are diametrically opposite virtually every other type of insurance industry. There is no process of pre-approval. So the insurance company can just ignore a doctor's recommendation for a back brace or an MRI or a specialist consultation if the procedure never happens, if the equipment's never provided, there's no bill, so they don't have to pay anything. There is no pre-approval process. Once the injured worker gets the item, the insurance company can then file what's called a utilization review, delaying payment even longer while that entire process plays itself out. All this time, treatment providers may say, we're not going to provide the treatment because we don't know if we're going to get paid. And as I said earlier, I think it was before we actually went on the air, this weekend I was working on a petition for allowance of appeal to the Supreme Court. It deals expressly with the utilization review process and trying to get the Supreme Court to recognize certain mandatory duties that apply to all the entities involved to expedite the process for the benefit of the injured worker.
So having said that, I'll ask Quincy and I'll ask Mark just to elaborate briefly, but the contingent fee agreement, okay, for both of your services, okay, when people listening to this show hear outstanding attorneys, first thing they think of is I can't afford them, okay, because they're not working and they're injured. But that's not the case when you talk about what your services for workers' comp and personal injury. Quincy, elaborate on that. Mark, I'm going to ask you first to tell our listeners what the contingent fee is, and then if you'll elaborate right after that, Quincy, that'd be great.
I'm going to try to keep this explanation short and simple, even though the real explanation is pretty long. In Pennsylvania, workers' comp attorneys' fees are capped by law, as a general rule, at 20%. We must win for the injured worker in order for any fee to be paid. That fee must be approved by a judge.
And there's no out-of-pocket cost to come and retain you, correct?
Correct. For our firm, we advance all the cost, and there's no upfront fee. Every fee must be approved by a judge. And in 2021, the court really went into depth evaluating the law, and there's a lot of circumstances under a case called Lorino, where if the attorney sets the case up right, the insurance company has to pay the fee of the injured worker's attorney.
Yeah, and by the way, I did not know that. I just recently heard it, which is amazing. And Quincy, if you would talk about their contingent fee in relation to your practice.
Absolutely, that actually is very amazing, Mark. And Lorino, it does a great thing for the injured workers in Pennsylvania. I would love a fee shifting provision for a standard, what we call third party cases. Which is essentially what I do. So when you're in, let's just limit it to car accidents. When you're in a car accident, you've got your own insurance, and you're the first party. Your car insurance is basically second party, and the tort fees of the person that hit you is the third party. So there's no such thing as fee shifting for third party personal injury cases. But we do have the same spirit of contingency fee practice. So Joe, you even touched on it. There's no cost to call me, to consult with me about your injury, about what happened, the accident, who's at fault, and the outlook or life cycle of what your case might look like. Moving on to my representation, my firm will advance all of the fees, or rather the costs associated with that representation, whether it's filing a complaint, hiring experts, doing investigation, anything under the sun that requires money to help prosecute your case, you're not responsible for. I pay for that. At the end of the case, when I've won for you, hopefully when I've won you a large sum of money, my firm gets reimbursed those costs that we advanced for your case, and we have a contingency fee, which is payment for our services. So literally, there's nothing that a client of mine has to do, or there's no reason for them to ever have to reach into their pocket and pay money in a personal injury case.
And so
that's the substance of a contingency fee.
And by the way, it's the great equalizer on both sides. It's incredible, actually. I actually think if I was a young law student, okay, I'd be if somebody said to me, right, and I know it's fantastic on all sides, but it just gives me the chills a little bit to know that you're fronting all the costs for somebody who could never afford it. Larry, let me ask you a question in regards to your, professionals, your doctors, and specialists.
Sure.
What about in a personal injury case and a work comp case? Regular healthcare may not cover it. Is there any out of pocket cost for that the injured person has to provide?
So, no. Now, in Pennsylvania, every state is different, as every attorney knows. And the state of Pennsylvania, there's a $5,000 cap in most situations. So there's a bucket of money. So if you get in a car accident and you are in need of medical treatment, there is a $5,000 cap for you. And a lot of times,
the personal policy picks it up.
Yes.
Right?
Well, it depends. Some people, in Pennsylvania, to be completely honest with you, I'm a little foggy on that. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Larry. Just if I could just help Please. That part out. What I think Larry's talking about is there's something called primary insurance payer, PIP, right? PIP.
Yes,
and it goes without being said, you need to have auto insurance, okay? Like everyone who's listening needs to have auto insurance, right? It's the right thing to do, number one, for the protection of other people, but also to piggyback on what Larry's saying, for your own protection. You need to have auto insurance so that you have your own $5,000 medical coverage, right, that kicks in.
Yes, sir.
And Larry's company and his doctors will tap into that first before any other treatment needs to be paid for. But more importantly, or equally as important, when you have auto insurance, make sure it's full tort, right? There's two types. There's full tort and there's limited tort. In Pennsylvania, if you've got limited tort auto insurance, and a lot of people don't understand, it's really about, Joe, it's really about the knowledge and education when it comes to this practice, and I'm really glad you have us all on to do that for your listeners. When you have limited tort and you go and sue somebody because they caused you a catastrophic injury, you've incurred tens and tens of thousands of dollars of medical bill, great. You can go after them and you can, and hopefully get all your medical bills paid, but you can't sue them for pain and suffering, right? Like literally when you just talked about Ranger and the back, right? Imagine waking up every morning grimacing or taking 20 minutes to get out of bed because you just, you're afraid of contorting your body in a way that's just going to cause you more pain.
I don't have to imagine that, Quincy.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel for you, Mark. I got hit by a car myself right at 20th and Carpenter, and I broke my hip. That was 4 years ago. Today, I still have, my hip pops. I have pain and
scary. It's
and
a scary thing.
Issues with my hip. It's a scary thing. So how are you going to ensure that somebody can compensate you for that? And that's taking proactive action to have your own the correct auto policy, which is full tort. That way you can sue somebody if they're at fault for your injury for both your medical bills and the pain and suffering. But that first $5,000, and I'll give it back to Larry, comes from your own insurance company.
Also, I was elaborating on workers' compensation. There's no out-of-pocket cost.
Correct.
For your medical providers.
Just circling back real quick with the $5,000 PIP coverage, and then after the $5,000 have evaporated, what happens is the cases usually become an LOP, a letter of protection. And then that is when the attorney agrees to pay the bills after the settlement. And That is common practice in our space, and the doctors that I work with are well versed in the billing procedures and also how they work synergistically with the attorneys, because it really is a dance. It really is important that everybody's on the same page, and because at the end of the day, the rehab and the care of the patient is the most important thing.
Well, and I guess my point was, there's a network of professionals that thankfully are aligned. I imagine,
100%.
But I imagine it's the quality of the attorneys also. Like, in other words, one thing I know about workers' compensation and personal injury, and a lot of people, everybody's got a buddy, right? Okay. But you can't have any dabblers in workers' compensation. I've heard in fantastic personal injury attorneys look at me from across the table on the air and go, I dabbled in it briefly and got the hell out of it as fast as I could because it's constantly changing. It's an incredible specialty. And let me just, before I get into that, Mark, I had an attorney on the show, Quincy, about a month and a half ago. And a quality personal injury attorney who was telling me about a client that came into her office earlier that day. And the first thing that client said was, I don't have to pay for the specialist, do I? Because the client left another and that's because the person went to another attorney, a personal injury, who was dabbling in PI, but I think it was a landlord to tenant attorney, which he might be a great landlord to tenant attorney, but doesn't belong in either one of these specialties. So Larry, what I'm asking you is, I'm assuming when you talk about a letter of protection and having top medical professionals, it matters also to the medical professionals that they're working with a quality, experienced 100%. Attorney.
Yes, 100%. Because you do have those attorneys that are not forthcoming and that unfortunately,
accidentally, in the space.
And some of the bills don't get paid, the things get overlooked, so they say. But at the end of the day, the attorneys that have a reputation of being, you know, honest and ethical have usually never have an issue with the medical treatment, with the physicians that will accept their cases. Occasionally, there are doctors that will not deal with certain attorneys because they've gotten burned before. They don't honor the LOP, or they've done something that has just been disingenuous and bad business practice, where they'll just send you a small percent of what is owed without any explanation.
On occasion, though, you do get in situations where the settlement isn't that big.
It happens. There's times when settlements aren't that big, and everybody needs to take a haircut. And that is just, that is the industry that we're in.
So having said that, but let's get back onto that dabbler situation. Mark, you were going to say
in workers' compensation, you are absolutely correct. The law has become so complex between how they've changed the law. There were major changes back in 1996. Then the court has to interpret the law, and that changes with every new court decision that comes out, how they interpret it, that an attorney can actually become a certified specialist in workers' compensation if they have the required years of practice, dedicate a certain percentage of their practice exclusively to workers' compensation, pass the written testing, attend continuing legal education courses. You become a specialist certified by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania.
That's how specialized it is. You know, you wouldn't look for, you know, in Larry's space, obviously you wouldn't look for a neurologist for a knee problem, okay? And so it's amazing how workers' comp is such a specialized area, and having a certified workers' compensation specialist is such an important thing.
When it first came about, I was skeptical about the certification process. I thought it was just a means to make money by getting the specialist certification so certain lawyers can market it. But as time went by, I realized the injured workers need to know this. They need to know that the attorney I'm going to knows workers' comp. They know it inside out. They do it every day. It's not somebody who's a plumber who I bring in to work on my roof. They know what they're doing.
And you heard Quincy, you know, your comment. You heard the point that the woman, that the attorney said to me that, you know, she was interviewing a new client who had left another attorney on her own. A young person, and the question she asked to the attorney was, "Do I have to pay for this specialist also?"
Yeah,
talk about it.
Kind of like a litigious person who might have had an injury case or two or three in the past. That's my initial thought. But you know, just to kind of talk quickly about the dabbling. As attorneys, you know, many jurisdictions, including Pennsylvania, allow for referral fees, right? So, you know, when I get a workers' compensation case today, I'm going to call Mark or someone else that I know, but more than likely Mark, because he sounds like a really sharp guy. And it sounds like his firm does really great work. And, you know, conversely, Mark could call me if he gets a personal injury case. And I know he's got an in-house guy, but that's what attorneys can do. We can call each other and actually enjoy a piece of the attorney's fee that is received from winning that case. And there's tools out there that allow for you to find or to network with attorneys who handle maybe a type of law that you don't. So I always avail myself to my clients and to my target audience that you should call me no matter what, because I'm going to put you in touch with the right person. There's a great tool called Attorney Share, and it literally allows you to upload, you know, a case intake. You're on the phone with the client. You're finding out exactly what happened to them. And you can explain to a network of attorneys through this platform called Attorney Share what that case is about, and other attorneys can vie for that case, and you'll get a referral fee. So there's really great means and methods out there to ensuring that people get aligned with the right attorneys.
Having said that, and Larry, talk about the communication. How important, especially when it comes to the medical process, what about communications between the professionals? Okay, a lot of times I've had attorneys on this show talk about they can't get in touch with a doctor, and they can't get
correct.
A report. But also it's important that medical professionals that are helping people in these workers' comp and personal injury situations will also testify for them, or, you know, on their behalf, because they're fighting an entity, often an insurance company, that's coming at them hard with all kinds of experts.
So you bring up one of the biggest pain points for a lot of my friends who are attorneys, whether it's comp or auto. One of the biggest issues is attorneys need reports. They need final bills. They need these things to proceed with the case. And it's very frustrating for attorneys to feel like that they've sent work, which, you know, the doctors are, that's how they make their living. And they feel like they have to beg for the reports, the bills, the initials, whatever the case is. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll try one time. And then what they'll do is they'll text me and they'll be like, hey, Larry, do me a favor. I need final bills for Bob Smith, who's being treated by Dr. Jones. And I help facilitate that with our intake team. And because of the relationships we have with all of these medical practices, they usually are very responsive to when we pick up the phone, because they know it's gotten to a point where the attorneys are frustrated with them and they don't want to lose referral sources.
Sound like
it's more than just frustration too. The medical reports and the bills are the case. Without the reports, you can't prove what the damages are, what the injuries are that the person suffered, whether it's personal injury, car accident, or workers' comp. Without the medical bills, we can't prove the extent of the damages, which is the value of the case. And that's Nick's job down the end of the table. He tracks down the providers. When a letter doesn't do it, he gets on the phone and he gets those records. Having someone like Larry who can coordinate all that and expedite the process is essential. And from his perspective, he wants attorneys that have a reputation that they will pay those bills when they get that settlement, or yes, if they negotiated in workers' comp, to make sure that those bills are part of the terms of any settlement, to make sure they're going to be paid, so the lawyer isn't just skating away on the medical bills and getting their fee.
How important, Quincy and Mark, is compliance? Okay, there are a lot of people that are injured, and if they've been chronically injured, and let's you know, these cases don't always settle, especially a personal injury case. They don't always settle, you know, in 2 weeks. Okay, sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes more, sometimes less. But a lot of times, you know, an injured person goes through a hell of a lot during that time. And I've seen and I've heard stories where somebody gets depressed, and even though they're injured, they just zone out and can't get themselves out of bed. And then all of a sudden, and I've heard attorneys say, here we are a couple years in, and the compliance, they, like I think you alluded to it a little while ago, Quincy, the fact that, you know, somebody, you know, you got to be going for treatment. If there's a lapse in treatment, the insurance company is going to jump all over that. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it means everything to the case, right? The continuity of treatment is not just germane to the success of the case, but it's really essential to getting better yourself. Yep. So I've represented a lot of union workers, right? And these guys are machismo, right? They don't want to admit that they're hurt. They don't want to come into a deposition and, you know, cry or let themselves be vulnerable. But that's kind of why you hired an attorney to begin with, right? Because you wanted someone to vigorously pursue your rights. And to do that, you kind of got to do your part, right? You've got to show not only that you were hurt, but that you're willing to get better. And the treatment is really essential to showing that you are trying to get better. If not, why should the insurance company or a jury believe that you were hurt in the first place, or that you were as hurt as you're saying that you are? So it's really, it means everything to the success and the outcome of your case.
In a workers' compensation case, the claimant, the injured worker, most of the time is disabled. They can't work. That's the whole point of the case. If they're not working, they don't have an excuse for not having time to see the doctor. He's now retired, a retired Judge Olin, who used to say when an issue was brought before him that the claimant didn't go to this exam or that exam, he would say that when you're seeking workers' compensation, going to the doctor is your job. That's your new job. You have to follow through.
That's an interesting point. And I tell you, it reminds me in a different way. My grandfather, God rest his soul, he was on dialysis. And I remember saying to him, I was a kid, you know, and he passed in 1992. But I remember saying to him, he was going to dialysis four times a week. And I'd say, Pop, I said, how do you do it? How do you go? And he said, well, he used to work for the Inquirer. He said, remember, I used to work for the Inquirer? He said, that was my job. Now this is my job. Okay, so the way you put that actually got me a little emotional, because I could imagine, though, sometimes it's hard to get out of bed and you know, just go, you know, go through that. You're sitting there, you know, you're going through therapy 1-2 hours a day. Or even with dialysis, he was on there for so long. Larry, talk about compliance in your world. How do your people and you keep in touch with the attorneys, you know, on compliance issues?
That's a great question. Well, first and foremost, what we do is we make sure that the person, everything is done geographically, because what you said is 100% true. The people are in pain, they're in discomfort. The last thing they would ever want to do is be in a car for half an hour schlepping to a physical therapy appointment, you know, somebody who they go to 2 to 3 times a week. So what we do is we try to make it very convenient for them. We work with them if they want to go after work. We do it whatever's best for them.
Locally, as local as possible?
100%. It's close as possible, because what they have to do is they have to go and see the person multiple times, you know, a week. So which actually goes exactly dovetails into compliance, because what happens a lot of cases, whether it's comp, auto, personal injury, if somebody does not show up for their medical treatments, what happens is it becomes a huge hole in their treatment plan. And I mean, just like Mark said, you know, the judge will be like, well, apparently they're not that hurt if they keep missing their appointments. So we have a system in place with our medical practices. If they miss appointment, they let us know. And then if they miss another appointment, we usually speak to the attorney and say, hey, listen, this is what we see. This is a trend. You know, you might want to speak to your client. And 99% of the time, they're like, great, thanks, I'm on it. And they'll call them and they'll be like, oh, they'll be there next week. They had a death in the family or something happened. And they're I mean, because life happens. So, and not all of us, you know, are the greatest with communication. Specifically, if they're going through something, they're in pain, they're in discomfort, they have, you know, property damage, they're fraught with a lot of different things going on, more than their traditional life. So we try to help, you know, make sure that things don't get, like, you know, kind of brushed under the rug.
Out of control,
we bring it up to the attorney's attention.
So let's do this. We only have a little while left, and Mark, I know I'd like to get an update on your case, okay? Because very interesting, as a certified workers' compensation, one of the most reputable in the region. You also have a case that's in front of the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania that's scheduled for an oral argument, which is a rarity, for November 20th. We got about 10 minutes left, and we want to talk about a couple things, but if you'll give us an update on that.
I'll lay a little bit of a background for people who didn't hear your prior show that I was on. I suffered a variety of injuries back to back to back, the most recent being in 2017 when I tried to lift my trial bag. I have three herniated discs in my lower back, which is why I sit here squirming around this whole time.
And you're unable to get surgery, right? I mean, you know, I mean, it's a risk, a major risk.
It's a risk, and as I've explained before, I was one of the people in a supposed FDA trial for disc replacement surgery, but with three discs, they didn't want to include me because if it didn't succeed, it would have impacted the data, and it may not have been approved, so that wasn't even an option. So basically, my treatment is pain management. I don't want to increase the dose of any of the pain medicines I'm taking because my job requires me to be able to focus, think, communicate, and talk, not slurring to a judge when I'm in court.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking too much. So my doctor and I developed a plan where we tried CBD oil, which is not prescription. You don't need a prescription. You can go into a health food store. It sounds like that should be something that's covered by workers' compensation, but it had never been addressed before. The insurance company argued that only FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs are covered. They do not have to pay for items you can obtain over the counter, or especially an herbal remedy, which is what CBD is characterized as. So that issue has advanced and is now in front of the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. The judge ruled in my favor. Appeal board ruled against me. Commonwealth Court in my favor. And again, it's in front of Pennsylvania Supreme Court right now.
And when do you expect it to, you know, to come to fruition? I mean, is there a timetable? When, so you said November 20th.
November 20th is the oral argument. And I would expect at least 2 to 3 months, maybe longer after that, for them to sit down and write the decision.
What's amazing about it is with all the issues with addiction and all that, you would think they'd be all over this, you know, like as far as covering CBD products and it gets you into medical marijuana, but and all those things that have helped so many people, okay? But why don't the insurance companies, you know, pick that up? Because it's got to be a much more economical situation.
The concern,
and a safer one.
One of the concerns is that it's all about money. That even though an individual bottle of CBD or Motrin, Tylenol, whatever it might be, may be cheaper, if you have every injured worker across Pennsylvania in a Walgreens or Target or an Acme grabbing these things, the reimbursement rate is going to be so much higher than the pharmaceutical drugs, so they're worried about the floodgates opening.
What's the what's your solution there in that? Go ahead, Quincy.
No, I was just echoing exactly what Mark said. It's really about the floodgates opening up for insurance companies whose sole purpose in life is to not pay for the people that pay into that system. It's really ironic.
It makes a tragedy, but. And what's your response to that?
My argument in response is that the doctor's treatment plan is designed to reduce pain, increase function, and either get people back to work or be able to continue working. So in the long run, they might be paying a little bit more for these types of medicines and supplies, but they're paying less in wage loss benefits and disability benefits because the person can work.
Absolutely. Well, look, obviously we're paying attention to that situation, and obviously the update is important. And so obviously we'd love to have you back on the program when that comes through and we're pulling for you.
I'm sorry. I just have a quick question
for
Mark. I was told recently that the state of Pennsylvania is now reimbursing for cannabis.
Yes, that came out about 3 months, 4 months before the decision in my case, but they do not pay the dispenser directly. The workaround to avoid any federal law issues is they reimburse the injured worker. It is not illegal to pay the injured worker the cost that they incurred as opposed to paying the dispensary of the medical marijuana directly.
Sure.
So that is absolutely...
Is that different than CBD situation?
Yes, because medical marijuana has the psychoactive ingredient THC. Some CBD might have traces of THC.
TCHA.
There you go, the wrong one. There's an expert in that.
Well, I'm in this space.
Got it. So that's the difference, is the psychoactive ingredient.
Got
that they're
you.
Covered by different laws, different rules, but the issue is analogous.
Okay, so yeah. There's a situation going on with a utilization review, another case that you just said you spent the weekend preparing a petition for. Talk about that, if you would, real quick.
I mentioned earlier that there's no pre-approval process for medical treatment in Pennsylvania. Once treatment is rendered, the insurance company can request utilization review, challenging whether that treatment is reasonable and necessary. All of the rules throughout the entire section of the act are stated with the word shall. In Lorino, the case I mentioned earlier about attorney's fees, the court determined that the word shall means must. It's mandatory. But the Commonwealth Court, in interpreting the various provisions of utilization review, sometimes found that word to be mandatory, and other times felt it's mandatory, but not, it's directory. They're a little wishy-washy on it. What my argument is, the court should interpret that word, that single word, shall, consistently throughout the entire section. So if it's mandatory on one party's duty, it's mandatory on the next party's duty.
So these cases that you're, you know, these are consequential, not only for what you're doing, but these are, you know, these could change actual law, right? I mean, the actual...
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just an amazing thing, man.
The goal is to make the insurance companies responsible to do everything the right way before you deprive injured worker of treatment.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, you know, it brings to the question what happens when somebody tries to, you know, the consequences of somebody trying to either represent themselves. A lot of people don't try to represent themselves. They're just trying to, you know, they think they're not being litigious. You know, I mean, how often, Quincy, will somebody get a call from an adjuster the day after an accident? How you feeling? And they're like, well, I feel okay. And next thing you know, you know, they really, you know, they end up, my wife went through a similar situation. And then 2 years later, they weren't really concerned about how somebody was. They wanted to get that on record so they could play it back for, you know, either a judge or the jury. Talk about that.
It happens all the time, and it's very simple. Do not talk to the insurance company. Don't even talk to your own insurance company until you've called an attorney. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You're not doing yourself any favors, okay? The attorneys understand, like myself, they understand the landmines that insurance companies try to set for these people in these calls, which, you know, they very, in very cursory fashion, they'll tell you it's a recorded statement, but you're not even listening to the insurance adjuster say that. So you're not understanding that everything you say is being recorded and transcribed and it's going to be used against you.
So
I've had a lot of it.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've had a lot of experiences, you know, later down the line, learning about a recorded statement. And, you know, there's ways to get around whatever has been said, but, you know, you don't want to put yourself behind the eight ball.
Yeah, no
in
question.
The very beginning of your case.
And Mark, in your world, I mean, people have, how many times has somebody said, you know, it's a Friday, they're injured, it wasn't seemingly catastrophic, so they wait till Monday, or they, you know, they do the best they can, and they figure since they work for a company for such a long time, they'll be treated fairly, and all of a sudden, they're not getting that, you know, the same respect or consideration that they gave for maybe 30 years.
Joe, you've heard me say this on your program several times. I have been asked to speak at unions and other organized groups of laborers. And the question always comes from the back of the room. Someone raises their hand. How long into the process should I get a lawyer? And my answer is always the same. If you feel yourself falling off that ladder or scaffolding, whip out that cell phone because it's in your pocket. Call me before you hit the ground.
Yeah.
Because the moment you hit the ground, the insurance company has their team of claims representatives, nurse case managers,
absolutely,
their attorney. Their team is lined up the second you hit. You need your guy in place.
Exactly. That's what this is all about, educating people on their rights and responsibilities, because there's a responsibility to report when it comes to a work injury, right?
Everybody has rights and duties, and if you don't do everything the right way, you could jeopardize your claim, even if it's in good faith. If you don't do it right, you may have given up some of your rights.
All right, let's go around the horn. Quincy, if you would, contact information for our listeners.
So you can reach me directly at 267-231-1195 by email at quincy@thebooth.com and on Instagram, Attorney Booth.
Awesome. Mark, if you would, contact information for you at the firm.
Sure. Again, the name's Mark Schmidt. The firm is Schmidt, Kirafetis, and Ricius in Media, Pennsylvania. Phone number 610- 892-9300. Website has a contact page that is www.pahurtatwork.com. And my direct email is mschmidt@skr.legal.
Awesome. Larry Schreiber, if you will.
Sure, Joe. Phone number is 609-332-0428. And you can find us at www.bridgemedlegal.com.
Awesome. Listen, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to The Legal Show here on WWDB Talk 860. Shout out to Tyler, our producer. Shout out to Mark Schmidt for being a fantastic guest. As always, Quincy Booth, who's hailing from CA right now, California. And, of course, our co-host and sponsor, Larry Schreiber from Bridge Med Legal, and Nick in the house. Nick Schmidt over there, also a fantastic input. When we hopefully, Jalen Hurts will cure his ailments, and we'll have a different conversation next time you're on. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.